Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this last day of Build 2016. So this morning, we're gonna look at Visual Studio extensibility. I'm very, very proud that I got to be on stage here for you today to talk about extensions, since that's not actually what I work on a daily basis. But I do write a lot of extensions, and so I have sort of a unique perspective, so hopefully you'll walk away with something new. And I'm gonna try to answer all your questions, and for the ones that I can't answer, or if you wanna go even deeper, I have Mr. Extensibility himself right here in the front, Michael Dick, and he will be here after the talk, as well as over at the hub at the Visual Studio booth, all day today. Right? So, we're gonna have every question answered, I'm sure. And my name is Mads Christensen. So as I said, I've been writing extensions for four or five years now, and I have over 50 of them in the Visual Studio Gallery. That's the sort of the app store of Visual Studio. And I figured out over the years, what are the things that work, what are the things that don't work that well, and how can we optimize the whole process of writing successful extensions? One thing is we wanna write an extension for Visual Studio that does something, but how do we make sure that it's successful if we wanna... Is it a private extension, it's just for myself, or is it something I wanna give out to my entire team, it's specific to my company maybe? Or do I wanna send it out to everyone and put it on the gallery so that everyone in the world can download it, right? There are processes that can help us in all of this, and that's what we're gonna look at today. But why do we wanna write an extension? Let's start with that, right? Very, very simple answer to that. It would be cool if. It would be cool if I could do something that would improve my workflow. It would be cool if Visual Studio did this feature a little bit differently, so it worked better with what I wanted it to do. It would be cool if I could maybe fix a bug in Visual Studio. You know, I could get around an issue that I found. And so, and you know, and then to the extreme, it would be cool if I can turn off features in Visual Studio. We can even go that far out. I have a couple of extension that does that. And so we can really just imagine all these different possibilities that we have. Visual Studio is a canvas. It's a huge canvas of almost endless possibilities, right? So it would be cool if we could do all these things. And sometimes it can be, even then, it can be difficult to figure out, well, what do you wanna write? If you have, you're here, so I assume that you all have sort of, you all wanna write an extension to some degree or are curious as how it's done, but what do you wanna write? Like, what specifically do you wanna write? And so I run into this issue sometimes. You know, I need to write extensions. It's like who I am. I have to sort of build something. And so I keep a OneNote of ideas, so whenever I wake up in the middle of the night or, you know, whenever think of something that would be cool in Visual Studio, I write it down, and then at some point, I'll build it, right? So that's one idea. Another one is go to the user voice, visualstudio.uservoice.com. It has hundreds, if not thousands, of feature requests for Visual Studio. Some are very small, some are very large, and anything in between. And so just by going there, you get a lot of inspiration. You say, "Oh, 100 people voted for having this feature," or, "10 people voted for this." So there's an idea here that I know that at least some people will like, and so you can go ahead and build that. So the Visual Studio Gallery is actually a really, really cool place to be. So there's around 100 new extensions going live every month, okay? And that is now over 6,000 extensions, I think over 6,300, and that's going up every month. So it's a really, really great place to be. There's a lot of cool things coming out all the time. A lot of inspiration can be found there, too, right? So you can find an extension where you think, "Hey, it would be great if this extension did it a little bit differently, or I have a different take on how I could provide the same feature." You can either contribute to that extension if it's open source, for instance, or you can write your own that does it a little bit differently, right? And it's a marketplace. It's the Visual Studio Gallery, so the people decide which one they want. It's about choice. And with over or around 1 million downloads per month, this is a very great place to share your extension with the rest of the world. That's a lot. So here's what we're gonna do today. We're going to build an extension. We're going to use GitHub so that we can get it in the hands of people. They can see the source. They can open bugs easily, those sort of things. Send code, contribute. We want to automate that build process that then takes the source code and builds it into an extension. An extension is a file name that has the .v6 file extension, okay? So we want to automate that process of building that. And then we want to have a staging environment. So when I fix a bug, someone reports a bug on GitHub to one of my extensions, I can fix that bug, and as soon as I commit that code, the CI server goes to GitHub, gets the source code, builds a new v6, and I can let the user know that opened the ticket saying, hey, do you want to test it? Here's the build, and all within like 2 minutes, okay? So very, very nice feedback loop there. And finally, we want to publish it to the Visual Studio Gallery so that other people can enjoy the awesome extension that we've been building. And we're going to look at what makes an extension awesome. There's a few tricks, so we're going to go through all that. There are some things you absolutely don't want to do if you want to have a successful extension, and there are some things you have to do. And it might not be clear, but this is what I personally have found to work for me. So I think it will work for you, but at least it gives you a good starting point. So if you've never built an extension, I'm going to give you a prescriptive tour through how I do it. And as I said, I've done over 50 of them. This works, okay? So here's what we're going to build. I went to UserVoice, visualstudio.userVoice.com, and I found this idea here, that it would be cool if I could right-click in Solution Explorer, select two files, right-click, and say, compare them, like give me the diff view between two files. So oddly enough, that is not in Visual Studio, though Visual Studio has support for the diff view that you might have seen if you use Source Control. So that's what we're going to build. And this is what we're going to use. Extensibility Tools 2015. So this is the one thing that you would have to install. Like, you have to go and install this manually. So this is an extension that I have been building for the last year or so that makes it easier to write extensions. Okay, it's very meta, but it helps us with certain things. It helps with workflow, and I've customized it a little bit to the workflow I have, but it's very generic in nature. Okay, so this is the one thing that you have to manually go install. Oh. And demo. So here is Visual Studio 2015. And this is, so everything I'm going to show you is all available. It's not something new that you don't have yet. This is actually Visual Studio 2015 Update 1, so I don't even have the new Update 2 that was just released here yesterday. And what we want to do is that we want to create a new project. And under C#, I can select extensibility, okay? Now, if you do not have the Visual Studio SDK, you will not find these templates in this dialog. You will find one that says, hey, install the Visual Studio SDK, and it will open the installer, and it will get that for you. And then you restart Visual Studio, and you do this again, and now you have these templates. So what we want to do is that we want to create a V6 project. So again, V6 is the container. It's the file extension, and it stands for Visual Studio something extension. I don't know what the I is for. Do we know what that's for, Michael? No? So that's the file extension. All right. And so let's call this project file differ. And we're going to create that. And it's pretty fast because we don't see a lot of things happening here, except a really nice detail is we get this getting started page, and we get links to documentations, to examples, open source samples of code that we can use. We get the link to the extensibility tool, so you can also just click here to download it. And this page is actually open. It's this HTML and CSS over here, so let's just get rid of those. So you can see the project is very, very empty. It doesn't even have a single reference, okay? So what we can do is that we can open this V6 manifest. This is where we can add some metadata to our extension. So I'm going to say file differ here in two words. I like to just keep GUIDs here, so I'm going to delete that. We have author and we have a version number here. We're just going to leave that as it is. And now it's very important that we have a good description, right? This is something that's going to go on the gallery. We want as many people interested in this as possible. So it's important that we fill this in like maybe a little marketing lingo here. So this file differ is going to be the easiest way to diff two files directly from Solution Explorer, okay? Then we have some optional things, license, icon, preview image, tags. Let's give it some tags, something like this. And that's all we need. Now this file is actually just an XML file, so we can take a look in here and we can see it's sort of the exact same thing, just in XML. And Visual Studio is frozen. Come on. Oh, that's no good. Demo fail here. Oh. Okay, so let's go in here and just kill the process. Did it already? Nope. This one. Let's kill it. Let's go to project, delete the file differ. We're moving fast here, so. This. File to the back. I'm gonna fill this in again. This time I'm not gonna show you the XML. Okay. Do that right. Here we go. And as I said, this is important. And the reason why this is important is that we want people to see that this is a serious extension. There's thought behind this. It's not just some random hobby project, or well, not necessarily that, because that's exactly what this is, but that it's likely that it's going to work, okay? It's not just something that's thrown over the wall. So we go here. All right. So now this actually does absolutely nothing, right? There's no references. There's no nothing except for this metadata. So what I want to do is I want to add a new item. And if I go down to extensibility, we have custom command showing up right here. So a button, I want to add a button to a right-click menu, right? That's called a command. It's not called a button, it's called a command. And I'm going to call it diff files command, right here. And this is the most amazing item template in the history of Visual Studio. It does so many cool things. Right now it's installing a lot of NuGet packages because the entire Visual Studio SDK is on NuGet now in 2015, right? So that's really, really nice. And we get a lot of files added here. So this is what our project looks like now. And so we got a lot of references all of a sudden. We have an image here that contains six icons, so it's sort of an image sprite. We got another icon, so standard package icon. We got our command, C# file, we're gonna look at that, and the package itself. And then we have a VSCT file. This is the Visual Studio command table. That's where we define the buttons and all these things. A key, and then finally a resx file. That was all added, and let's take a look starting with the command table. This is an XML file. Hopefully this works this time. And it looks like this, okay? So there's some XML somewhere in here between all the comments. So I was going to do this presentation. I thought this is a little confusing with all the comments, so I wrote an extension to remove all comments in a file. There we go. So here you can see what's going on. We have a group, we have a button, and we have a bitmap, okay? A group does absolutely nothing on its own. It's a container for buttons and menus, okay? So just to illustrate what that means, if we go to tools, for instance, here, we can see that here's a group that contains five buttons, okay? Five commands. Here's a group down here that contains three. They're separated by these delimiters, these lines. Here's one, that a group that contains just one button. If a group does not contain any buttons, you don't see it. It's invisible. Okay? So we're saying that this group should be located in the tools menu. This is the one up here. Okay? So we're going to place it up there. And the button says that its parent is the menu group that we defined up here. Okay? So the button is not going to say invoke diff files. It's going to say compare files, dot, dot, dot. Okay. And finally, we say here that the button needs an image. It should be the BMP pick one that's defined inside the diff files PNG right here. So that's the first one, the first icon inside this sprite. Okay. And then we have this, the simples, right? So we have to register everything. Everything that we do, all the buttons, all the groups and bitmaps and all that, they need to have GUIDs and numbers and stuff. So we do that in here. So that is, in essence, what we're dealing with. If I want to move this, because I don't want this button to be up in the tools menu, right? I want it to be when I right-click in Solution Explorer. So how do I know what it's called, where I'm going to put it? Well, that has been a little tricky in the past, but if you have the extensibility tools, you do get full IntelliSense for this. So let me zoom in here. We can now just write, I know that it's called item node, and we can see here VS CTXT, so context menu, item node. Doing that will put it when you right-click one or more files in Solution Explorer. Then we have priority. Like, where do we want this to show up in the priority order? So if we right-click a file over here, that means where on this list should it show up? Should it be up here? Should it be down here or at the bottom? And that's all just a number value. So you have to like tweak that a little bit. I played around with using 300. That will put it somewhere up here in the top. So you kind of get like a nice way of putting your UI together like this. Okay. So the other thing we got was the command file itself. This is just a C# class. So let's just remove the comments so we can see what's going on. So here we have the command GUID. We saw that one before. That was this one, okay? And we have the diff file command ID, which is 100, which we have right here, okay? So these are now aligned. They're pointing to each other. And so what we're doing is that we're getting a service. So Visual Studio is all about services. It's all about bringing things in from the Visual Studio APIs into your code and start using them, and we use the service provider for that. And so we say, hey, give me a menu command service, and then register my command or my button. So we pass in the GUIDs and the ID, and we give it a callback, menu item callback. And we have that right here. So this is the callback. This is what happens when someone clicks the button. Okay. And so I'm gonna build this. So it takes a little bit, the very first time you build this, it takes a little bit. It has to create the V6 container and those sort of things. And what it's gonna do, so I hit F5. What it's going to allow me to do is set a breakpoint. So let's just set a breakpoint right here. And it will now open another instance of Visual Studio. But this is not just your regular instance of Visual Studio. This is what's called the experimental instance. There's a key difference, which means if it's the experimental instance, which is what we have here, then it's a completely separate thing than your other Visual Studio, your regular Visual Studio, if you will. All settings, all installed extensions are separate. If you change the font size in the experimental instance, it won't change your font size in your regular Visual Studio. If you install an extension in one of them, it would not show up in the other. Okay? Stuff like that. They're completely separated, which makes it really good for us so we can be more in isolation. Actually, you can use this feature as well. So you can say, hey, I want a special store for when I do Cordova development, and I want something different when I use web development. You can have different extensions loaded in each and so on. That's possible, has been possible for many years. And that's what's being used here. So let's load a project up here in the experimental instance. You can see it's the experimental instance because it says so right there. So now I can select two files, right click, and compare files show up. Okay? Yay. That was sort of simple, right? I hope you see that was not too scary. I'm going to click the button, and boom, my breakpoint hints in Visual Studio. I can now debug this exactly like I would expect from any other C# class library or whatever it might be. But this makes it really, really powerful and very convenient for us. So let's just close this. So let's get rid of all of this stuff. Right, we're not going to pop a message box here. No, instead, we're going to figure out what were the two files that were selected in Solution Explorer. Then we're going to get the file names of that. And then we're going to open the diff view and have them side by side. Okay. So first of all, we want to find the selected files. So I'm just going to add missing using statements here. So it takes a DTE object. So this is sort of the automation object in Visual Studio. If you ever worked with macros back when Visual Studio had support for macros, this should look familiar to you. It's sort of a shortcut to a lot of the settings and features inside Visual Studio. And so from here, we can just say, hey, give me the tool windows, give me Solution Explorer, and give me selected items. And then I just link over them to say, OK, for all the selected items, they all have an object property that I can cast to a project item. And the project item has a file name. And that's what I'm going to return as an array. Okay? So now I have my selected files. Now I have to figure out, did I select two? Right? Were two files selected? I can't compare one file. So I need two. So we can see, can files be compared? And this is pretty simple, borderline naive, but it works. We're saying, get me the selected files, and then figure out, you know, element at or default zero. So give me the first, and then the next line say, give me the second selected files, or null if there was no second file. And then I'm just returning a Boolean, whether or not that happened. Okay. So let's create an instance of this DTE class. And here we're going to do, we're going to use the service provider. And we're going to say get service. And we're going to say give me type of DTE. And we're going to cast that to DTE2. So there's some interfaces around Visual Studio that has like a, you know, 2, 3, 4. Because they came from like an old version of Visual Studio. And there's been newer versions since that has updated these interfaces. So we're just going to do that. Then we're going to create our two files here. And then we see if can files be compared, give it a DTE, out file one, out file two. And so in this case, if two files are selected, I want to open the diff view. Now, I know there is a diff view. So how do we get to it? Well, it just so happens to be that there are commands. Exactly like the one I'm creating right here. Any command in Visual Studio, almost any command, can be invoked, okay? And some commands take parameters. If I want to compare two files, I'm assuming that I can give the compare command two file names, right? But how do I find it? So if you go to the command window, you can search for things, but tools.diff files. So it's already in Visual Studio. So we're going to use that. So then we can just say dte.execute command to what's called tools.diff files. And we're going to give this two properties here, file two. And one thing that we have to do is there could be spaces in a file name. So we have to just give it some quotes around each, like this. There we go. And so this is sort of all it takes, right? This is very, very simple extension, but very useful, or at least 58 people voted for it to say this is useful. And so we're just leveraging what's already in Visual Studio, the diff files command here. And Visual Studio has so many commands. I use them all the time. And you would sometimes be surprised to learn that there is a command, but why is it not shown to me in certain situations like this case, for instance? So now I'm going to select two files. I'm going to say compare files. And boom, we have our diff view. Super simple. Thank you. All right. So just to make sure that the extension actually does exist and all that, we can look up it. If you go to tools, extension and updates, And we can see that it is, in fact, right here. It does not have good icons. So that's too bad. We need to fix that. This is important. Just like the description is important, super crisp icons and screenshots and all that is super important. People are not going to download things that does not look like the author cared. They're not going to download things where they don't know exactly what the extension is going to do. So we have to be very, very crisp here. So that's one thing. Another thing was, if I right-clicked here, we can see it just uses that default icon, that little says 1X, which I don't know what that is. But it's the wrong one. I want a new icon. Now, icons are PNGs. You can do JPEGs, but don't, right? You can use other file formats. Always use PNGs. And you can go out, you can find whatever PNG you want. You can make your own. What I like to do is to use an icon that's already in Visual Studio. Visual Studio ships with over 3,000 icons, right? So if we're going to use a hobby project like this, I'm not, you know, that good in Photoshop or anything like that. So I prefer to have other people make my icons, basically. And so if we go back here, let's take a look at that. So this PNG here had 6 icons. We only used one, right? So there's no reason to have to like copy things in there. Let's just copy one icon into it. Go online, find something, or go to Tools, use the Extensibility Tools 2015 extension. It can say, and you can say here, Export Image Moniker. So this gives you all the images that are inside Visual Studio, right? And there are, as I said, over 3,000. And you can actually search. So I know there's one called Compare File. That's exactly what I need. I'm going to say, give me the 16x16. We're going to export that into File Differ, Resources. I'm just going to overwrite this one, okay? Overwrite this one, like that. We go back to our VSCT file. We registered 6 icons. That was wrong. There should only be one, so we're going to delete all that stuff. And then up here, we get IntelliSense. It tells us there's only one, so let's get that. Okay, so now our icon has changed in our context menu. And now we want the icon and preview image, right? So there's 2, icon and preview image. And so we're going to use the exact same right here. So compare file. 175 by 175 pixel, that is the size of a preview image. And 90 by 90 is the size of the icon. So we're going to do that. Show hidden files and folders, and we have them right here. We can say include in project, go to our manifest, and we can start filling out. This is the icon. This is the preview image. Now, preview image, you might think, it would be good that I actually showed a preview of my extension, what it's going to do, so maybe a screenshot of the div view itself. The problem is 175 by 175 does not give people, you know, you can't really see what's going on in detail. It's too small. So what I found is, just don't do it. Just make a larger image of your logo, of the icon, right? And we can deal with the screenshots later. So now we have that. And let's just see what that looks like. And then I think we're about ready to show this to the world. Don't you think? It works okay. Pretty good. So we're running the experimental instance here. So this is a 3.5-year-old laptop on your new Surface 4 or Surface Book. I'm sure that this is going to be a lot faster. But now, if we right-click on our files here, if they show up, let's look at the dialogue instead while we do that. So now we have the icon to the left here and the preview image to the right, the bigger one. So that was good. And we have the nice icon here, right? So this is great. This is awesome. This is what I wanted. I'm really happy about this. This is a good first iteration of my extension. This is now a minimal viable product, right? This will add value right now. So let's go in here and say, okay, let's put this on GitHub. Now you can do private GitHub repos, or you can do public. I always do public. So How do you do that? Right? I'm sure a lot of you have tried all that before, but there are certain things that we want to make sure is done conveniently when we build v6s. And one of them is that we want to have contribution guidelines. So when people want to send a pull request or something like that, it says, hey, here's my contribution guidelines. You might want to read them. We want to have a README file. We want to have a change log. We want to have a license, like what license is this under? People surprisingly ask about this a lot. So this is crucial. You need to have that. And we also want a template. So when people create an issue on GitHub, we have a template so they know what to fill in. This is a big pain point in the past for me that people say, oh, the extension doesn't work. I'm like, okay, you know, can you narrow it down a little bit for me, please? I don't know what to do with this. And it can be a little bounce back and forth for like a week before we get to what is the problem. And if you have the template that made them fill in the right things to begin with, everyone's going to be happier. So extensibility tools gives us a menu. So I'm going to right-click the solution, extensibility tools, and say prepare for GitHub. And it's going to say, hey, do you want to add some files? And yeah, let's do that. And it gives us a README and other things. And while we do that, we can see here, it laid down a lot of files. So this is the solution root, attributes, git, ignore, changelog, contribution, license, so on. So that's cool. So here's the README file. And notice how cool this is. It already took the description from my v6 manifest and put in here. We have a changelog as well. So people always want to know what's coming and what did you do in the latest update, okay? And this is actually, I found, really helpful to me as well to document what I did, because I don't necessarily always remember exactly what goes where, right? What feature was added to what version and so on. So it's a really good way of keeping a list of things you want to do. So let's say here, this is the initial release, and you can now compare two files from Solution Explorer, okay? And do we have any, so on the roadmap, you know, I don't really know yet, so nothing yet, right? Whatever. And that's kind of nice. We have the license, so now we have to bring the license into Visual Studio. So there is a way to put the license in the manifest. So when people install it, they will see the license. And so let's do that. So we have the license file that was added for us right now. So let's go in here and say add existing item, all files, and we go back to the solution root, and we have license right here. We're going to add that as a link. Okay, so we're not going to add the file into our project. We're going to add it as a link. We're going to right-click that, properties. We're going to say that this is content, and it's going to go inside the v6, inside the extension. And then we can just do it like this. Okay, so now I think we're more or less ready. Oh, except, what was the one thing that we have to do? We have to make sure that everyone knows what our extension does. Like, this is absolutely paramount. There is no universe where this is not the case. You have to make sure that when people see your extension in the gallery, that there are very clear screenshots to show what this thing does. Okay? They don't want surprises. They don't want to install something and then look for, well, where does the button show up? And blah, blah, you know. Be very clear on that. So what features do we have? We can now compare two files in Solution Explorer and spell it right too, almost. Here we go. So feature one. Look here how you get like contribution guidelines, you get license, all this sort of stuff is right in here from the beginning. So that gives you a good heads up. Like feature one is, well, the only feature, this is compare files. So what we're going to do is saying, select two files in Solution Explorer and right click. Okay. So now we want a screenshot. So let's go in here. And we want to do high quality screenshots. Now, I could take this into, and I do this all the time, take my screenshot into paint.net to kind of touch them up a little bit. But we don't actually have to. It's just because I like to do that sort of stuff. So right click, and we're going to also put the arrow here so you can see that it turns yellow so that people know this is what's going on. I use a screenshot tool here called LightShot, so I can just do this. Boom. Control C, copying it. We go back here. So this is a markdown editor that comes with Web Essentials, okay? And so I can just paste straight into, if I have an image on the clipboard, I can just paste it straight into the Markdown editor. And so I want to create a folder here called art, because it's nice and short. And this is a picture of the context menu. There we go. Save that, and it updates. And now we have that image in there. So let's actually see this in action so people know what to expect, what happens when they click the button. So we can't go too wide here. It has to fit the screen. So let's take, here we go. So let's take this, copy that, say, and then select compare files to see the diff view. The diff view. All right, so now people actually know what's going on. So let's just take all this stuff and commit it to GitHub. So add solution to source control. It's going to ask us, do we want to use Git? Yes. That's going to show up over here. And we're just going to say, OK, initial commit. That's the message we have. All of our files are in here. And we're going to say commit and push. So I want to push it up to GitHub. OK? Commit and push. And it says, OK, I can commit, but oh, you haven't registered on this project on GitHub. So let's get started. So this is the GitHub extension for VS that helps us here. So get started, I click on the GitHub thing, you can see it right here. The remote repository is not configured. Okay, get started. I'm already logged in to GitHub on this version of Visual Studio. It selects file differ. I can make it private if I wanted to, but you know, I just want to publish this. So now, done. My files are now published. If we go to GitHub, hit refresh. Here it is, right. So now we are on GitHub. And people can see immediately what is this, what's going on. There are links to the changelog, license, and all this sort of stuff. So now we're in a really good state, right? Now we're in a good state. What I want, though, is a way to automatically, when I make a change, I want to push that to a CI server that will build my extension and make it available for people. So for that, I use something called AppVayor. And so extensibility tools 2015 to the rescue. Prepare for AppVayor. Okay. This will add AppVayor YAML. Do you want to add it? Yep. And so now we have AppVayor YAML. So here's what that file does. This is a build script. AppVayor.com is a CI server in the cloud, just like we know from like Travis Jenkins and whatever, VSO and so on. And I'm going to download a PowerShell file that I have on GitHub, right? And that gives me some commands. I can change some version numbers. I can push some artifacts. I can publish this to the gallery. This all happens in this build script. So that's kind of cool. So all I have to do is go into AppVayor. Actually, let me just commit this. Here, commit, so added AppVayor, commit this. Now go to appvayor.com, I'm going to sign in. It's free, so you can sign in with GitHub or Visual Studio Online, wherever your code is. I have GitHub here, so I can just log in with my GitHub credentials. And here we go, here are my projects that I run on AppVayor. I can add a new project. And then I have a lot of GitHub stuff, so this takes a little while to load. But here we go. It's somewhere. Okay. File differ, add that. And new build. Okay. So what happens now is that it talks to GitHub and says whenever there's a commit on GitHub, it will automatically start building it. And we can see here, it just starts. So the first time I had to manually say, hey, run the new build. But from now on, every time I make a commit, that just happens automatically. So while that runs, let's go to settings. I'm going to get a badge here. And we can go in and get, so this is the badge here. We see GitHub always have these badges that says, oh, the build is successful or whatever. And that's actually what we see up here. Here we go. And Tim, who's sitting right down here, has talking on the Visual Studio extension. Gitter, I am right here. So this is where the Visual Studio extension people talk to each other. I'm going to have a link to this at the end. This is a really good resource. Thank you, Tim. So now I added the new batch, and we can see build is passing. So if we go back to latest build, we can see, oh, green build, we're good. And what happened? What happened was that we're incrementing the v6 version. So this was version 1.0, remember? In the v6 manifest file, the one when I switched to XML, Visual Studio wasn't agreeing. And so I want that to automatically increment with the build number of app there, so that it will be 1.0 point, and then the build number, okay? So there's always a continuity. So that's what happened here. I'm incrementing the v6 version, and then it builds everything. It sees if there are any tests. I don't have unit tests for this. Then it pushes the artifact first to here. So here we have a v6 file, okay? 28 kilobytes. And it pushes it to the v6 gallery. Now this is v6gallery.com. This is a place that I've built specifically as a staging environment. And we see file differ shows up right here. I didn't do anything, it just shows up. So I can now tell people, go check out the nightly builds, the CI builds, it all, it's right here. You always have the latest version. You can click it. It even brings in the markdown and parses it and shows it right here. Okay? So this is really great for that. So let's just download save target as into this file or folder. And so let's take a look at it. Here is it. So if I now rename this to .zip, because that's what it is, here we can see this is the anatomy of a v6. It's just a zip file that has our manifest, but look at the difference. It got added the build number to it, okay? So that PowerShell script that I run on AppVare automatically augments this. So that's really, really cool. And it seemed to be working pretty well. So let's go back here. And let's upload this thing, shall we? So let's go in here to the Visual Studio Gallery, click the upload button. And by the way, so this v6gallery.com, it's not just me that uses it. Actually, if we look at some of the big extensions use it, so Web Essentials uses it. If we go in here, CodeMate uses it. VSVim over here uses that as a staging environment. So it's not just for me, it's for everyone to use. I'm gonna click the upload button, and we're gonna be asked, what do you wanna do? It's a tool, any extension is usually a tool. I would like to upload it. So we're gonna select the file. So desktop, where did we put it, build? Here we go. I'm just gonna say next. And so let's, what should we call, this is it team development, source control? I don't know, maybe. Build, why not? So give it a few categories and the tags, let's just use the same ones. So compare diff files. This is not a trial, this is absolutely free. And if we go in here, because now we have to fill out the provide source control URL, so let's get that in here. That means that they're linked to it directly. And then we have to fill in this thing. And there's been like, some people have been complaining about, well, you have to have at least 280 characters here. And sometimes that description, like you don't really have enough description there. But because we use the extensibility tools to create the README file, I can just go in here on GitHub. I'm just gonna copy this, all of it. Boom, go back here, paste it in. Agree to this, create the contribution. Okay, so now it's thinking about it. And I will never hit that issue with the 280 characters, mainly because this, right? So that's pretty good. So now we're good, I'm gonna publish this. So now this is live to the entire world. Anyone watching this, you can go try it out. So that's pretty good. So now every time, yes, thank you. So the cool thing is that now people are actually gonna try it, gonna download it, they're gonna use it, they're gonna have ideas, they're gonna run into issues. If you saw the code and you, maybe you could see there were, could be like issues with what I wrote, and some person found maybe not an issue, but something that could be improved. So, oh, who was that? Someone just created an issue. All right, but let's create a new one. And I have, so here you see that template. This is the template that I'm talking about. So you get this automatically. It tells you what version of Visual Studio you're using, what exact version of the extension do we have here, what's the description? How do you recreate the issue? What is the behavior you're seeing, and what was the expected behavior? These are the things you need in order to actually makes sense and either fix it or saying, oh, it's by design or whatever, right? So I've cheated and prepared an issue. I kind of knew this would come up. So it would be nice if I could just compare a file to any file on disk. Why do I have to select two files? Why not just select one file? And if I select only one file, ask me what other file to compare to. It might not be in my solution, right? It could be any file on disk or network or whatever. So let's look at that. So here we have it. I can very clearly see what's going on. It's the first version of the extension. Okay. So let's go fix that. So let's close this down. Go back into our project here. So if I only select one file, I want to show a file dialog. Okay. So here is a nice little change. If the number of selected items are just one, that means I've only selected one file, then pop open the open file dialog and put the initial directory to where that file is on disk and show the dialog, right? So this should be simple enough, I think. So let's run this. It looks like it's gonna work, doesn't it? Very, very clean, beautiful code. So it's building. There we go. I forgot to do one thing. All right, I have a change log, so I would go in here and I would say, hey, compare any file on disk, right? That would be my roadmap. I would release this until I go to fix it. So now I've made the fix. Let's see if it actually works. So this is really good. So now you can communicate in your changelog, and if you committed that, you're communicating to your users that this is coming. And so I can now click a file. I just select one, and I say compare file, and opens this, and you know, lo and behold, there was actually a file on disk that wasn't shown in Solution Explorer. So I can just take that, and now they're compared to each other. So this is great, right? This is the next version of my extension. Now added to the feature list here. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go in here. I'm gonna say this is version 1.1 now because, oh boy. And so I made, is this right? So that means we can now do this. We can just take this. Boom, give it a little X there. And so up here, we'll just say, more coming soon. Something like that. Okay, so now we have the new version of our extension. There were some things that was missing over here. So we have release notes and more info URL. So let's just go back here. Actually, let's just commit this because this is the fix, right? So let's commit this. So we're gonna say compare any file on disk, and we're gonna say fixed. Okay, what number was this? Issue number 3, okay. So fixed number 3. There we go. So now that's done. Okay, so what about Avery? Oh, it looked at, oh, there's a change here. Now it started building it. And we can see here in a second, if you notice what happens up here. Oh, 1.1.2, okay? So it read the version number inside my V6 manifest and changed the build number for that. That's all part of this PowerShell that I'm running that we don't care about because it's sort of just automatic. So now I made that change. While that's running, I'm just gonna go in here. So that's closed, did you see that? Automatically GitHub closes that issue when I say fixed and then the number in the commit message. So that's kind of a nice workflow right there. I'm gonna go in here and say copy link. So more info URL goes down here. Let's see here, are we done? We are done in fact. And I closed the gallery link here. So v6gallery.com. And now we have 112. We can just download this, save target as, boom. Go back to the Visual Studio Gallery, the official gallery. Anything that's up here and published, the world can download. And so let's just edit this. We say change. It's going to ask us if we want to lose, if we're okay losing everything that we just entered below after step 3. I'm going to say yes, because that's not going to happen. So that's a little scary message there that doesn't actually mean anything. And so we go down here, and we can save the file. And so now we have version 1.1. And I can go in, before I release this, I could go in, I could take this link right here, and I could go back to the issue that was fixed, and I can say, you know, please help verify the fix using the latest CI build found here, right? Something like this. And so now my loop with the person that added the issue can be closed really, really fast, right? I want them to verify that it fixed because, you know, well, it works on my machine kind of thing, doesn't really cut it. And so this is really, really helpful. And when everything is fine, I'm going to upload the new version to the Visual Studio Gallery as I was just showing you. So this is a super nice workflow where the inner loop is super tight. I make a change, the customer or the user verifies everything works, nightly builds are running automatically, and I publish whenever I want to. So that is one of the great, 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 great things in Visual Studio 2015, is that there are automatic updates on by default. So before, when there was an update to an extension, there would be like a notification saying, oh, you know, file differ has been updated, do you want to install it? I'm like, well, why does he update it every 2 days? It's annoying. I don't want to see that notification. So now, you don't have to worry about that. Visual Studio automatically installs the update, sort of like evergreen browsers and so on. And that's really good for us as extension authors because we can react very, very quickly to issues or to really good suggestions, have it verified by the user, testing it out using the CI, and publish it, and no one will be notified. Next time they start Visual Studio, they will just have the new version, right? So that's good because we get more downloads, the more every time people download our extension, we get more. So the more time you update your extension, the more downloads you get. So that's really good for your own motivation to see your download count goes up. But it's also really, really good for the user because they get the fixes faster, they get all the new cool stuff faster, right? So it's a win-win. Okay. So, got a couple of minutes left, so let's do something really cool. So actually, let's get the changelog in there. So the link to the changelog, we're gonna put that here. There we go. We're gonna take the gallery link. So this is the link to the Visual Studio Gallery, and that was gonna go in the README file. So it's here it says, update the VS Gallery link. Okay, so that's this link. Boom. Just so we have everything pointing to the right things, right? Automatically, when I created the README file, it did a link to the V6 gallery. And we don't have to change that because the V6 gallery always uses the ID of the extension, so we already knew that in advance, so that's kind of cool. Okay, so this is really nice. So let's look at, let's be really geeky here for a second, or for the remaining 7 minutes. Let's get our geek on, because what we want to do to make sure that our extension is maintained over time. It attracts people that want to send us pull requests so that we don't have to do all the heavy lifting always, but we can have people helping out, like a lot of people really want to. But in order for people to help out on any open source project, we want to make it as simple as possible. Now, we already have good ways for them to write issues. We have good ways of them to read the contribution guidelines so they know, well, they need to have the extensibility tools installed and so on. But we want to make the code as simple as possible, the project structure as simple as possible. So let's do some very geeky stuff. One thing, there is a quality thing, and everyone always misses this part, okay? So I said that the extension shows up right here, file differ, okay? But it shows up one more place, and people always forget this. If you go to help and about, yikes, diff files command extension, and then what detailed info and a default icon. This is no good, right? We want to fix that. So where does that come from? Well, let's look at the package class here. Now let's look at this, the resex file right here. So here's this is the title and the description. Now keep in mind, I just entered that in the V6 manifest file. Why do I have to do that again here? It's the same. I have to copy that and do it twice. Also, I did my icons already. So why does this insist on using the ICO file here in my project. So this, for very good reasons, but for me, I've never had to use this file, this resx file that I've opened right here, for anything else than to just hold the default values, okay? So if that's the case, let's just automate that. So that was this icon file right here, right? And it's this resx down here. So we already know what the icon is. The v6 manifest says that. It has a link to the resources slash icon.png. And we already know what the title and the description is because we also entered that in the v6 manifest. So we can just delete these two files. And then on the v6 manifest, I'll just right-click and say auto-sync resx and icon files. Boom. So now we have an icon automatically generated from the PNG icon, okay? We have the resx file, which is the exact same as you saw before, but now it has the right things, okay? It has the right icons, all this sort of stuff. Every time I make a change to the v6 manifest, these files are updated. I don't have to worry about this. It's automated now. And I get a C# file right here that has sort of name, ID, and so on. So that means we can now go in and make some modifications. So I can go in here to my package file. So let's do this. This is the package file. It doesn't really do much in its own. So here's a region. So when I did this comment remover feature, I was like, well, let's just let's expand on that so that you can also go in, if you go to edit, oh, where are we? Edit, comments, like remove regions. So I'll just remove any region on a page so it looks like this. So it doesn't really do anything except that it initializes the command that we've been writing, okay? But it does have stuff like a version number. So we can get rid of that. So version, oh, sorry, v6.version. This is that class that we just generated in here called v6. So now I have all this always coming in from that one source of truth, which is the v6 manifest file. Here it has a package GUID string. And that's actually registered right here. What was that? So 6E4, 6E4, that's the same as this. So now we're repeating ourselves. We have the same GUID listed two places. So why not do the exact same thing with our VSCT file? So here I can also say auto-sync this, and it creates all the GUIDs for me, all this stuff for me, always keeps it in sync. So now I can come back here. I can delete this completely. Get rid of this, and we can say this is called package GUIDs, and we need the package string, which was the 6E4, just like that. And so we can clean things up. That's nice. And there are other things that I want to do. I want to move things around, make it more explicit. So I have an extension here called add new files. So I'm going to create a folder called commands, like this. So now I have commands up here. I want to drag my command up there because I could add more in the future, right? So it's nice to have them grouped just like that. And then finally, I will go into properties. And I remove strong naming. This is not considered best practice, mind you. So do this if you want to, or, you know, it's up to you. The reason is that Visual Studio wants to load the assemblies. And if you have two different extensions with the exact same namespace, it doesn't know what to load, and you can get into trouble. This has, in my experience, never happened. So I'm like, I opt for not having the strong name key here, just for simplicity reasons. So now it looks like this. Everything is now sort of down to the bare metal. I want to rename something vspackage.cs. Do you want to rename the class inside as well? Yes. The command file here, vscommandTable, I'll call that. So now they're sort of grouped by, these are specific to the v6 by naming convention. This is about making it super easy for people to understand what's going on, right? They don't have to first learn about, you know, other than learning about extensibility, they also have to learn about your project structure because you might have a lot of files or whatever. Keep things nice and neat, and that will increase the participation from the community. One last thing that I want to do, because I'm going to clean the solution. We have 40 seconds. This is the coolest thing. You want to keep your extension as tight as possible, as small as possible. The screenshots we took, keep them as small as possible. It's just a good idea so that people don't have to download more than they need. Right-click, solution. This happens after you install something called Image Optimizer. image optimizer, do a lossy optimization of images. This means we are going to sacrifice quality, but the human eye is likely not going to be able to tell. We look at the output window and look at what we can compress the images with, 44%, 49%. And it's running through here. And we now have a very tight, very tight extension and a very good workflow. So with that, go check out the dev chat on GitterIM and akams/extendvs, very, very important. And remember, it would be cool if. Thank you very much.